Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, November 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Tim Walz fails in his effort to get a top committee post. New members of the Republican State House majority set their agenda, and St. Paul tries to improve snow plowing. President Obama is expected to outline his executive order on immigration tonight. Republicans in Congress are fuming over Obama's decision to go forward with unilateral action. We'll have much more tomorrow. Democratic leaders in the U.S. House have squashed 1st District Congressman Tim Walz's bid to be the top Democrat on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Walz had received endorsements from major veterans organizations and the outgoing ranking member of the panel. But Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi backed Walz's opponent, Representative Corrine Brown of Florida. A committee controlled by Pelosi determined that Walz was ineligible to run because he wasn't a permanent member of the committee. Walz says he's disappointed.
Well, certainly, in my opinion, I think they probably could have given us a vote, then we would have known. I think it's always best if the will of the caucus is expressed, because now the question will always be, did he have the votes, did he not? I certainly believe so.
Walz is the only veteran who's a Democrat on the committee, and he argued that he had a better relationship with both veterans and Republicans than Brown does. Trustees of the state college and university system will ask lawmakers to fund another 2-year undergraduate tuition freeze. Alex Friedrich has more.
The proposed freeze is part of a 2-year, $1.39 billion legislative budget request approved by trustees. It would prevent an annual tuition hike of 3%. State college student leader Kaylee Schoonmaker says she hopes lawmakers will subsidize the tuition increase, but she also hopes money won't be diverted away from programs to do that.
I would say that a fully funded tuition freeze, our students would be on board with that because affordability is a high priority for us. At the same time, so is quality.
Lawmakers consider the budget request this coming session. Alex Friedrich, Minnesota Public Radio News.
MinSure says more than 4,700 people have used the agency's website to enroll in public or private health plans since open enrollment for 2015 started Saturday morning. The update came at a MinSure board meeting yesterday. Mark Zadeklik reports.
About two-thirds of people enrolling went into government-sponsored health plans. A little more than 1,500 signed up for private health insurance. CEO Scott Leitz told board members the agency's website and contact center are working well, unlike last year.
On Monday, we had one of the top 10 highest call volumes ever at MinSure, and we were able to answer 98.85% of the calls in under 5 minutes. So the trend is very good in those areas.
Previous high volume waiting times averaged 75 minutes. One board member suggested staff find a way to shorten the 20-minute process to reset forgotten passwords. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
The Olmsted County Board of Commissioners has banned the use of e-cigarettes in public places. Elizabeth Baer has more.
Olmsted County Commissioners voted unanimously to add e-cigarettes to the county's smoking ban. Commissioner Paul Wilson says that includes restaurants, businesses, government buildings, and other public places.
We know that there are issues of what's contained in e-cigarettes, and they have the potential for being a negative impact on the public health.
The new law goes into effect on January 1st. Beltrami and Houston counties have also passed similar bans. Cities including Edina, Mankato, and Duluth also banned the indoor use of e-cigarettes, and Minneapolis is considering a ban. Elizabeth Baer, Minnesota Public Radio News, Rochester.
The Minnesota House will have 26 new members, including 21 new Republicans, when the legislative session gets underway in January. 11 of those Republicans are getting a lot of attention because they're the ones who knocked off Democrats to flip control of the House to the GOP. Tim Pugmire talked to some of them about what they hope to accomplish in the upcoming session.
Two of the new Republican lawmakers aren't really new. Dave Hancock of Bemidji, who defeated DFLer Roger Erickson, is returning after a 2-year absence. Jim Knobloch of St. Cloud, who defeated Zach Dorholt, is back after an 8-year break. But Knobloch's earlier seniority has already landed him the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee.
I think people know me and trust me and are trusting me to represent them in St. Paul.
As a private citizen, Knobloch waged an unsuccessful legal challenge last year to try to block construction of the new Senate office building. The project was a big campaign issue for Republicans, But with the building now taking shape, Knobloch said he will no longer fight that fight as a legislator.
If there's a way to turn it into a parking ramp, I think that'd be good. But I'm not really sure what else can be done at this point. The legislature and governor, you know, the Democrats, unwisely, in my view, decided to build it, and it's now being built.
Knobloch said transportation will be a big issue in 2015, but he doesn't believe additional taxes are needed to fund road and bridge projects. Dave Baker, a businessman from Willmar who defeated Democrat Mary Sawatsky, said he wants to hold the line on taxes, too.
We are just coming off of a very heavy tax-burdened two-year session that was not well done, in my opinion, and that's why I want to make sure that we figure out how to move Minnesota forward without the first thing doing is raising taxes. I think there's a lot of other areas to look at before we get to that point.
Most of the new Republicans are small business owners. Peggy Bennett is a teacher from Albert Lea. She defeated DFLer Shannon Savick. Not surprisingly, Bennett said education is one of her top issues.
We need to bring more local control into the picture so that teachers and parents can make the best choices for our students, because those choices aren't always the same as what's better for inner city kids or northern Minnesota or wherever.
Incoming GOP lawmakers are also stressing values, especially those who campaigned against their DFL opponent for supporting same-sex marriage. Josh Heinzman of Nisswa, who defeated John Ward, said he wants to see changes in that law to give businesses more flexibility.
People of faith need to be able to know that they can practice their faith in the way, in the tradition that their family has over many, many years, without being afraid of somehow violating the law.
Despite deep partisan differences, most new Republicans are now talking about finding common ground with DFL Governor Mark Dayton and the DFL-controlled Senate. Dale Lewick of Aiken said he thinks everybody can get along, but Lewick, who defeated Joe Radinovich, said the issues affecting rural Minnesota need a lot more attention.
The 11 new members that replaced DFL incumbents, 10 of them are from rural Minnesota. And if that isn't a message, I'm not sure what would be. That it was pretty clear that the needs in rural Minnesota were not being met by the current approach down in St. Paul.
The focus on rural Minnesota is reflected in a new committee structure that House Republican leaders unveiled this week, but the response from House Democrats suggested that getting along might take some work. They said the plan was another GOP attempt to create a political divide between rural and metro areas of the state. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The city of St. Paul is rethinking how it deals with snow plowing. And for help, the city has turned not to a civil engineer, but to a philosopher and computer scientist. Curtis Gilbert has the story.
St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman has taken a lot of criticism over the condition of the city's streets in recent years. This spring, it was potholes. Last winter, it was the stubborn ruts of ice that rendered driving treacherous. Coleman replaced his snow plowing manager, accelerated the purchase of new plows, and in his budget address this year, the mayor promised bigger changes ahead.
Even if the weather doesn't cooperate, driving St. Paul will be different next winter and spring.
To help solve the problem, Coleman enlisted the help of a fledgling nonprofit. Civic Consulting Minnesota plans to apply private sector expertise pro bono to the problems facing government. Dave McCallum, the organization's executive director, has PhDs in both philosophy and computer science. He's a former Carleton College professor and dean who's worked more recently as a business consultant. His task in St. Paul is a little closer to the ground. He's helping the city use data to measure its performance when it comes to plowing snow.
When you start collecting that data, then I think in a substantive way you can start answering these questions in a way that matters and also directing the resources of public works in the right sort of way.
One preliminary goal is getting to bare pavement on 90% of major streets within 20 hours after the end of a snow emergency. The city also plans to track mass transit and school bus delays, response times for citizen complaints, and the condition of the city's sidewalks. Civic Consulting is also recommending a more robust communication strategy run out of the mayor's office. It includes monitoring social media to to identify areas of the city that need special attention. But in terms of the city's overall approach to managing snow, McCallum says he'll suggest small changes, not a major overhaul.
By and large, I'll tell you right now, the City of St. Paul Public Works Department is sort of right in the pocket. I mean, it has a good, solid snow plan. And so the review of the snow plan is one where we're looking at exactly those things. What are the new ideas that we can try out, and what in the snow plan can be tweaked?
Some of those tweaks are already being implemented. Joe Spa oversees street maintenance for the city. He says the Public Works Department is trying to be more proactive in responding to the weather forecast.
If we're anticipating some complicating issues such as ice, that we get out in front of it and continue to stay out in front of it, which means staying on task and continuing to keep crews on the streets. I think we've learned a very valuable lesson there that is critical.
St. Paul will consider making additional changes during the course of this snow season. Those include clearing snow from some high-priority street corners to make the city easier for pedestrians to navigate. That's something Minneapolis plans to do this winter as well. Civic Consulting will also look at whether St. Paul needs to adjust the financial incentives it gives tow truck companies to remove illegally parked vehicles during snow emergencies. Councilmember Chris Tolbert says that could make a big difference.
It's my understanding that the neighborhoods that are closest to the tow lots, for financial reasons, are the ones that are getting picked up the most. It's not necessarily fair to those neighborhoods, but it's also not fair to the neighborhoods who are not having those cars lifted out of there so that we can finish the plowing.
Civic Consulting Minnesota is based on a model pioneered in Chicago 25 years ago. The organization is funded by a $100,000 grant from the Bush Foundation. St. Paul is its first client and will receive the services free of charge. Curtis Gilbert, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.